Pray together. Father, we thank you for your holy word today, for the Bible and the Gospel of Mark that you are opening to us today. Father, we pray that during these few moments that we have together, Lord, that you would just shine the light on your word and into our hearts, so that we could know you and see you and hear your voice speaking to us, and that we would be able to respond accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to be in Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 35 today. Talking about the priorities of the servant. Jesus being the servant of God, as we've talked about in the Gospel of Mark. Now, I am not a Dallas Cowboys fan. You might all say praise God or amen or something to that. But I am a believer that Tom Landry, when he was coach of the Dallas Cowboys, was probably one of the most successful coaches that there ever was, and did some amazing things while he was there. And someone asked him once how he was able to accomplish all that he did. And he said this: in 1958, I did something that anyone who has been successful must do. He said, I determined my priorities for my life: God, family, and then football. And he said, and that made all the difference. As we followed Mark's narrative in the Gospel of Mark here so far, we have seen the Lord call his first disciples in verses 16 through 20, telling them that to come and follow him, and he would make them to be fishers of men. We have also watched him at the work of preaching in the synagogue in verses 21 and 22. We've seen him also casting out evil spirits in verses 23 through 28. We've seen him healing many of those who were sick, Peter's mother-in-law and all the people there in Capernaum. We have been watching Jesus, the servant of God, going about his Father's business. All of that, most of that happened in one day. It was an amazing day that Jesus had. As we followed Jesus through these events, we have seen the preaching and the power of Jesus, the servant of the Lord. Today we're going to examine the priorities of the servant of the Lord. These verses that we're going to look at today reveal the priorities that moved the heart of Jesus. And this brief glimpse into one early morning quiet time reveals what was important to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look at these kind of these motivating factors, because what was important to Jesus, I believe, ought to be important to us as followers of Jesus. And so let's join Jesus in his quiet time, and let's learn what stirred his soul. And as we see his passions revealed here, let's ask the Lord to create those same things in our own hearts this morning. Listen to verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And when they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go to the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. So the first priority that we see today is that Jesus made a priority of prayer. Number one, Jesus made a priority of prayer. Verse 35. Remember what the previous day was like for Jesus? It was the Sabbath day. And on that day, so much had been demanded of Jesus on that day. After preaching in the synagogue, Jesus was confronted by this man that was possessed by an evil spirit. And Jesus has this confrontation with this evil spirit, and Jesus casts him out, and all the people are amazed at Jesus' teaching and at his power over the demons. And then, after the Sabbath, after the synagogue, they go to Simon Peter's house, presumably for lunch. When they get there, they find Simon's mother-in-law is sick with a fever. And so Jesus goes in and immediately touches her, lifts her up, and she is healed, and she begins to wait on them. And then at the end of the Sabbath day, as the sun begins to set, then the Sabbath day ends. And so in the evening, they brought all of the people of the city there to him, the sick and the lame and people with various diseases and those who were possessed by evil spirits. And it says Jesus healed many of them. In fact, the Gospel of Matthew says he healed all of them that they brought. Probably late into the night, there is Jesus doing all of this work of service and helping people and healing people and teaching people and being with people. And all of this was part of what he came to do. He came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. It had been a wonderfully tiring day, I imagine. But now watch carefully what Jesus does. A late night does not necessarily prevent Jesus from an early morning meeting with his Father. We're told that Jesus rose up a long while before daylight. Now, I don't know how early in the morning that is. Maybe it was 4 o'clock in the morning or something like that. We don't know what time the sun rose there, you know. Normally they counted sunrise around 6 o'clock in the morning. But it was a long while. It wasn't just a minute or two. It was probably hours before daylight. Jesus gets up, he heads out the door, and without anybody else knowing it, he goes to a place where he can be alone and spend that time in prayer with his Father. Jesus gets up and he leaves, not because he was unhappy with the accommodations that he had at Peter's house. You know, he wasn't going to go check into the Capernaum Marriott, you know, or something like that. No, he knew that there was something even more important to him than sleep. Now, for some of us, you say, man, there can't be anything more important than my hours of sleep, you know. Some of us love our sleep, you know. But for Jesus, there was something even more important than sleep here. You know, the Bible tells us another story in John chapter 4 where Jesus is speaking with the woman at the well of Samaria there. And when the disciples get back, having brought lunch, you know, knowing that Jesus hadn't eaten anything, they offer him lunch, and he didn't need that. Why? Because there was something more important than lunch, you know, to him. Just as there was something more important than sleep to him. And that was communing in prayer with his Father. Jesus removes himself from all the other distractions and all the other relationships and all the other pressing needs that were upon him as a servant of God, so that he could concentrate on his relationship with his Father. And now, this is not the only time we find Jesus praying. In fact, if you look at the Gospels and read through them, you'll find out that in the Gospels, they picture Jesus praying at least 25 times throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark records that specifically that Jesus prayed three times, that we have in the Gospel of Mark that he prays. We have him praying here at the beginning of his ministry. Then we have him in Mark chapter 6, after Jesus had fed the 5,000. You remember that story where he feeds a whole crowd of 5,000 people with just a few loaves of bread and a couple fish. And after he does that, he sends the crowd away. He sends his disciples in another direction. And he goes up onto a mountain and he spends the night in prayer. The last time we see Jesus praying in the Gospel of Mark is the night that he was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he is agonizing in prayer over going to the cross that very next day, where he, and actually the same day, because the Jewish people count the days from sunset to sunset. So it was actually that very same day he would go to the cross and suffer and die. And so he was praying in agony that day. Jesus prays. And it's interesting that at least in the first two accounts that Mark has of Jesus praying, it was immediately after Jesus had had such a great success in his public ministry. Here in Capernaum, he had had this great success. He had taught in the synagogue. He had cast out this demon in a public way, and people were amazed at that. They were amazed at his teaching. They brought all the sick people. He had healed all the people. And there were crowds of people that were ready to follow Jesus, and they were hanging on his every word, and they were wanting to see what he would do next, and they were bringing other people for him to perform more miracles. He had had this wonderful success. Same thing happened after feeding the 5,000. Jesus had this huge crowd. He had fed them. They were all wanting more. And in both instances, Jesus gets up, leaves, goes to a place where he can be alone, and he spends the night in prayer. You know, it may have been a constant temptation to Jesus to take a shortcut and to fashion a popular movement in his ministry. But Jesus was not about popularity. And he was not about just doing what everyone else demanded of him. He was about one thing, and that was fulfilling the will of his Father. Completing his Father's mission, the mission that he had sent him to do, to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus was all about going to the cross, where he would suffer and die for the sins of people. And he wouldn't let anything distract him from that purpose and that mission, because he had his priorities right. And what helped him with those priorities? Prayer. Prayer helped him with his priorities. You know, as on Wednesday nights, we've been studying Isaiah's prophecies concerning the Messiah. It's been a wonderful study that we've had. If you missed that, I invite you to keep coming, to come, maybe for the first time. But we're in Isaiah chapter 49 last week. We'll be in Isaiah 50 this week, and looking at some of Isaiah's prophecies concerning the Messiah. And specifically, in the second half of Isaiah, he has four different passages that speak about the servant of the Lord. It's interesting because that's the way Mark portrays Jesus here, as the servant of the Lord. And when you get to chapter 50 that we're going to look at this week, listen to what this prophet says about Jesus 700 years before Jesus came. In Isaiah 50 verse 4, he says, "The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. That reminds us of what just happened with Jesus the day before. He had been teaching in the synagogue. He had been giving these words. And people said, wow, what teaching with such authority. And they had never heard anything like that. And He spoke words to the weary soul. And it changed people's lives. He did it every time He opened His mouth. But there's more. He says, Isaiah says, He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. And so what does Jesus do? He not only goes out and speaks the Word of God, but then He goes and He listens to His Father. He goes out morning after morning, night after night, and He spends that time in prayer. And Isaiah says that's what the Messiah is going to be about. He's going to make it a priority. Communion with the Father in prayer was one of the marks of the Messiah, and Jesus fulfills it. The fact that Jesus prayed, I think, raises some interesting questions in my mind. One of those is this: what did Jesus pray about? Well, Mark doesn't tell us what He prays about. It just tells us that He prays. Jesus went out to pray that morning after a day of powerful ministry, a tiring day. And I'm sure He took the time to thank the Father for the blessings of that day and the people's lives who were touched and the healings that were done and the fact that He got to preach the Word of God to people. I'm sure He gave thanks to the Father for that. I'm sure He gave thanks for God's Spirit who was with Him and the power that God was using in Him. I'm sure He prayed for the people that He had heard His word and the people who had been healed. He must have prayed that they would see beyond the miracles and take hold of the message that He was bringing to them. Maybe He prayed for His disciples, for Simon and Andrew and James and John, that they would be men of God. He must have prayed for Himself. He desired the Father's blessings and the Father's power. And surely Jesus went out that morning to seek the Father's will for direction for His life. Because when we see Him coming away from that time, that's exactly what we find. Jesus has a direction and He has a purpose and He's headed right to it. That's why I think that's really what He must have prayed about. Because that's what the Father told Him. That's the message that He got from His Father. He got direction for His ministry. Another question that it brings to my mind is, why did Jesus even need to pray? After all, we know from the Scriptures that Jesus was God in the flesh. He is the Son of God, come to this earth and lived as a man. And so if He is the true God, why did He need to pray anyway? Well, we need to remember that Jesus, although He was the Son of God, although He was God in the flesh, He was in the flesh. He was a man. He was a man, the Scriptures say, like any one of us. He was tempted in every way that we are, as we've already seen, yet without sin. He endured everything that everyone else did. Jesus got tired. He got hungry. He went through everything that every other person goes through. He lived as a spirit filled man, where the Holy Spirit of God indwelt that body, and the Son of God was right there in the person of Jesus Christ. And yet He was a man. And so He prayed to His Father. And He, just like we need to, He took that time to verbalize to the Father and to listen for His Father's voice speaking to Him that direction that He needed. Jesus prayed because He wanted that total, unhindered fellowship with His Father. Jesus, before He came to this earth, He had been with His Father from eternity past. the one Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, had enjoyed this fellowship as the one true God, unbroken and unhindered by anything for the ages. And now the Son of God is here on the earth in this body of flesh, and I'm sure He desired in just as real a way to have that closeness with His Father that He'd always had. And so He takes the time to spend with His Father. And Jesus desired that. He wanted the Holy Spirit to be able to flow through His life in absolute freedom and power. And Jesus made every effort to stay in close communication with His Father. Why did Jesus seek a place of solitude? Well, I think He wanted His prayer time to be uninterrupted and unhindered. Jesus knew that His prayer time was precious, that it was private, that He wanted nothing to be able to come between Him and that time that He spent in His Father's presence. Our Lord's early morning meeting has some valuable lessons for us today, if we'll just take time and think about it. First lesson that it just kind of teaches me is this: get up, get out, and get praying. Okay? Is that a good message? There's 3 points for you. Get up, get out, and get praying. That's what Jesus does. Get praying for that strategic direction for your life. Jesus got up, He had that time with His Father, and He came away with it with a direction that would not be turned away. He knew exactly what He had come to do after He had spent that time with His Father. So if Jesus, who is God in human flesh, felt that need for prayer and direction from the Father for His life, you know, obviously we need that too. Maybe even more real way. A preacher by the name of E. Stanley Jones says that prayer is a time of exposure to God. And sadly, I think a lot of us as Christians are a little underexposed, you know, underexposed to that time with God. And I'm still learning this, you know. It's something that, you know, when I first believed in Jesus Christ and He first saved me from my sin and I began this relationship with Him, you know, immediately someone gave me a survival kit. Anybody used one of those? Written by Ralph Naber years ago. It was a great little tool. But first thing it did was, it says, find a time, find a place, get your Bible, and have a time, a quiet time with God. And so I began that and working through that. But I'll tell you this, it hasn't been easy. You know, I have been a Christian for some 20-odd years now. And I tell you, it's no easier for me today than it was the first day I started to make a priority of spending that time alone with God. And if you struggle with that, you're in good company, okay? Almost every other Christian in the world, I have not met one yet that doesn't struggle in that area of spending that time alone with God in reading His Word and prayer, listening to God and speaking to God. And so if we just have to make a priority of it. You know, I remember when I was at the Air Force Academy, our days were busy, you know. We had to get up long before it was light, you know. In fact, during the school year, you know, when the days are shorter, you know, in the fall and winter and early spring is when the school year, you know, runs. And we used to call it the Dark Ages when I was at the Air Force Academy. And it was really funny because when it was cold, we wore these parkas, and they're black, okay, with the USAFA on the deal there. But they're black and they have a hood. And and they're made out of wool, really very heavy. And you put these parkas on, and as you, everybody lines up to march to breakfast, you know, in the morning, in the dark, y'all look like monks, you know, with the hoods on and all that. You know, we look like we're from the Dark Ages, and that's exactly what we got up before it was dark, and we went to bed long after it was dark. You know, when we went to school, it was dark. When we got out of school, it was dark. You know, and it was just all, you never saw the light. You know, it was a tough time. And so it was important to spend some time with God there because we needed the light. You know, we're living in a dark time and we're busy and we're always doing things. And I had a group of friends that were Christians with me there. And when we had a saying that we would always stick by every morning, and it was this: no Bible, no breakfast. And I love breakfast, you know. I just can't hardly get through the day unless I have breakfast. And so we made a pact with each other, you know. If we didn't have our quiet time with the Lord, we wouldn't go to breakfast. We would instead spend that time with the Lord. And so we'd have to get up earlier so we could have that quiet time before we went to breakfast. And no Bible, no breakfast. Maybe that would work for some of you. Maybe not. But, you know, it's so important to, number one, set a time. Set aside a time to pray and stick to it. For me, it's early mornings, you know. I've gotten up early in the morning for years. And it's just something that I've gotten in the habit of doing. And yet, even then, it's, you know, I have to make sure, don't turn on the computer, you know, don't turn on the television, open the Bible. And I have to remind myself of these things, you know, day after day. Open the Bible, read it, and then when you're done, stop and listen for the voice of God. Spend that time talking to the Lord. Give Him some praise and adoration. Confess your sins before the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord for all of His blessings. And you know, serve the Lord in that way. And just keep on having that time with God. Set a time. It's so important. We need to have a time of prayer just like Jesus did. For Jesus, it was early in the morning or late at night. You know, we find the two special times that He had alone with His Father. Prayer is not just a matter of personal convenience. Prayer is not something that you can just fit in on your spare time after you get everything else done. Because I guarantee you, everything else will never get done and you will miss your prayer time. It has to come first. If it doesn't come first, it probably won't come. Find a time. There's a little rhyme I learned a few years ago. It reminds me of this priority. It says, I woke up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't have time to pray. Problems tumbled around me and heavier came each task. And I wondered, why doesn't God help me? And He answered, but you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. And He said, but you didn't seek. And I tried to come into God's presence, and I used all my keys in the lock. And God gently and lovingly reminded my child, you didn't knock. So I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish. I had to take time to pray. And so I hope that encourages you. Find a time. Second, find a place. Jesus went to a solitary place. It says a desert place. It's important to get alone with God. It's not enough, you know, just to meet together for prayer as a church or as a family. You've got to get alone with God. You have to have some time like that. Jesus had to have it. You have to have it. Find a place where there are no distractions. Get away from the phone. Get away from the TV, the computer, and any other distractions. And pour out your heart to the Lord. if we're going to have power with God and power to live the Christian life, we have got to have that time with the Lord in prayer. So Jesus made a priority of prayer. Second, Jesus made a priority of preaching the message. We're just going to hit this real quick. As Jesus is praying, he's interrupted by Peter and Andrew and James and John. They've been out searching for him because they get up in the morning. He's gone. They don't know where he's gone. They go out looking for him. They find him. And they said, Jesus, everyone's looking for you. In other words, Jesus, you've got all this crowd of people. They're wanting to see you again. And I'm sure they wanted Jesus to do more miracles and to do the things for them. And what does Jesus do? He says, no, we're not going back to Capernaum. In fact, it doesn't even say that he went back to Capernaum at all. It looks like he left right from there. He says, we're going to go to some other towns. And do what? He says, and preach. He says, because why? For that purpose, I have come forth. He says, it's for this purpose that I have come forth. You know, as we've been studying the Gospel of Mark, we said that, Mark probably got a lot of his information from Peter. Jesus had been staying at Peter's house here. Peter went out to look for him, found him. I'm sure Peter heard Jesus say this. You know, I don't think this episode ever left Peter. I think it hung on him that the most important priorities in my life must be my communion with the Father, my relationship with God, and the preaching of God's Word, the message of the Gospel. He says those are the two priorities that Jesus had. His priorities were prayer, that communion with His Father, and the preaching of the Gospel. In Acts chapter 6, the early church has a problem. And in this problem, people in the church are not getting along with each other and all of that. And when they come up with a solution, this is what Peter says. He says, we're going to put some men in charge of that problem over there so we can deal with it. He says, but as for the apostles, as for Peter and the rest of them, he said, we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. What were Jesus' priorities? Prayer and the ministry of the Word. The prayer and the preaching. Because the gospel message is what changes lives. You see, the message is more important than the miracles. When people were looking for Jesus to do miracles. They wanted to see that happen in their lives. But Jesus didn't want to be put in just as a miracle worker, just as something like that. No, Jesus wanted people to hear the message that God had sent him to give, that the kingdom of God is at hand, that people should repent, turn away from their sins, that they should believe the good news that God is sending his Messiah, that they should see that Jesus is the Son of God, and so that when he would go to the cross, they would be able to see that he was suffering and dying for their sin, and so that when he was raised from the dead, they would be able to see God is powerfully at work in saving us because he's laid all my sins upon Jesus. And he raised him from the dead, and I'm going to put my life in the hands of Jesus. You see, the gospel message is very simple. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the good news. It's what Jesus came to preach and to show through his life. He says, and that's his priority. So what's your priority today? Are you spending a priority in prayer? And have you made a priority of getting out the good news of Jesus Christ? That was Jesus' priorities, and it must be ours as well. Here's God's invitation to you today. If you have never been saved, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, turned away from your sin and said, you know, if I don't come to Jesus, I'm going to hell. That's the truth. And we want to turn our backs on hell and the sin that takes us there and the death that takes us away from God. And we want to go and turn toward Jesus. That's called repentance. And believing in Him and His death on the cross for your sins and His resurrection from the dead to give you life. Would you give your life to Jesus today? Secondly, if you are saved, but you're not where you need to be with the Lord, your relationship with God is a little rocky right now, things are not right, you need to come back to the Lord. You need to take this time to confess your sin before the Lord. And He'll forgive you. He'll restore you. And that fellowship can be so sweet again, maybe that you've had in the past. Would you come back to the Lord today? If your prayer life needs work, mine does. Okay? There's no better place to begin than with a time of prayer right now at this invitation time for you to begin that, just giving that over to the Lord, asking Him to work in that area of your life. And if you need prayer for anything else and you want somebody to pray with you, I'm going to invite you to come and I'll pray with you, or one of our deacons will pray with you. Do you need that prayer? Do you need some help with that? So we're going to have an invitation time. I ask that you stand. We're going to pray, then we're going to sing, and you come as God calls you. Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus, who loved us and gave Himself for us. God, we pray that You would touch the hearts of people today as we've heard Your Word. God, that we would be honest with ourselves and with You, and that we would respond as You've called us to today. In Jesus' name, amen.